Welcome to Good Money Vibes, the podcast to help you feel good with money. My name is Emily. I'm a money confidence coach, and it is my job to help you feel good with money. That's just my overall thing. A little bit about me. So in 2020, I underwent my own financial transformation, having only had debt in my adult life, to being debt-free, building an emergency fund, and kind of teaching myself everything there is to know about finance. So now it's my job to help you learn everything there is about finance. But most importantly, only the important things that you need to know and how they actually make sense in living your best life. It's my job to help you uncover what it is you want to do with your life and what's stopping you from getting there and bridging that gap. So whether it's poor money mindset, limiting beliefs, that's where people work with me to help uncover and break through those kind of things, or whether it's building a financial game plan in order to achieve the goals that you want to achieve and live the life that you want to live. So that's a little bit about me and why we're here. Today, we're going to be talking about uncovering your money story. So what is your money story? Your money story is basically all the things that build up your money mindset. So your money mindset is the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act around money. Basically every single financial decision you make, from buying a house, buying a car, to picking up an extra chocolate bar with your meal deal. Every single financial decision. And it's brought together by lots of different things from our upbringing. So this is what uncovering your money story is all about. Because really, I don't think anyone realizes that as they're walking through Tesco, making decisions about what to buy, their upbringing up until the age of 7 is affecting what they're doing. So I just want you to take that in for a moment. Age 7. In 2013, researchers from the University of Cambridge found that by age 7, your financial behaviours, things like delaying gratification, are set. And they found in another study that children as young as 3 to 5 years old can hold conversations or start to hold conversations about money where emotions are linked. And that is the part about money that no one talks about. We often think money is numbers in a bank account, when it is very rarely that. Yes, the numbers in our bank account allow us to make certain financial decisions, but really it's all about the behaviours and it's all about the emotions. And what behaviours and emotions you gained from your parents, your caregivers, from your society, from the people that you were around in your upbringing, those are what you are using today, unless you've done the work to unpick those and kind of build new habits. So I'm going to use my own financial upbringing as an example to maybe help trigger some thoughts and some prompts that you might want to think about in your own time. So I grew up in a council estate, living off benefits, single parent household. And for the large part of it, I was an only child. So I had a sister when I was 12 years old. So for most of my childhood, definitely up until the age 7, I was an only child. What my life looked like as a child was, it wasn't necessarily negative, but there wasn't little luxuries. There was never any holidays. Things were very much like hand to mouth, but in terms of I didn't feel like I was aware of the financial struggle, but I was also aware that sometimes we would just have beans on toast or just cheese slices out of a packet. And at the time I was like, this is weird, but sure. And now looking back, I'm like, oh, okay, no, we were struggling. But the main thing I took away from my childhood, and I didn't realize this until 2020, until I kind of had my financial transformation, was that because I grew up living off not a lot of money, I learned that money comes into your household and it leaves your household. Like, it comes into your bank account and it goes out. There was never any excess for saving, investing, anything like that at all. No such thing as an emergency fund. Everything was very much like, well, the money comes into my mum's bank account, she withdraws the money, she pays the bills, she buys some food. And maybe there's like a little bit left over for some new school shoes that I need, or a new jumper because I've gone up a size, that sort of thing. So what happened when I went into my adult life and I started to earn my own money, even though I started to earn quite good money in the grand scheme of things, money came into my bank account and it went out. I didn't know any different. The second thing that really ties into how I spent my money in my early 20s that is directly linked to my childhood is that when I was growing up, because we didn't have a lot of money, often when I would ask for things, as small children do, my mum would tell me, we can't afford that, I can't afford that, but when you're older and you have your own money, you can do what you want with it. Oh, I never realized how much that statement would affect me, because I think I was told that probably at least once a month. Like, when you're old enough, you can do what you want. I was even told, you know, when you're old enough, you can have a cat. Guess what I did? I got a cat. I was like 20. Why did I was living in shared accommodation. Why did I get a cat? The little things we like jump onto in our childhood, honestly. But with this statement, with this idea that when I'm older, I can buy whatever I want, I really took that and I ran with it, because I now have two things working, two things influencing my money mindset, my financial decisions. Number one was that money comes in and money goes out. Number two, any money that I do have, I can spend it on whatever the fuck I want. And so I did. I lived a pretty good life. I went to the theatre, like, I think at one point I was going to the theatre like almost every single night, and I lived in London. I actually want to talk about it when I think about how much money I spent. I never cooked. I always ate out. I always bought like, I don't know, new clothes, like new shoes. But I didn't particularly think I was doing very well. Even to the fact where I was living in shared accommodation, I had to downgrade my shared accommodation. I went from the double ensuite room to like the single bedroom with a shared bathroom in my flat in London. So things weren't great financially for me, yet I had money coming in. And this is where our money mindset can really impact our ability to make and understand financial decisions. I didn't think I was bad with money. I just thought I didn't earn enough. When in hindsight, and it took me a good 6-7 years to learn this, I was earning plenty. I was earning more than enough. I just had my values and my priorities way out of whack. So getting back to our money story, because I feel like I've digressed a little bit. Those things that we learn of when we're little. And I don't want you to just think about your parents and the things they said. Maybe it's another caregiver. So maybe you spent a lot of time with a grandparent, or maybe you are part of a religious household and there are certain things in your religion around money. Those things that you might be holding on to that is potentially stopping you from achieving your potential. Like I said, all money is behaviours. Money is just psychological, it's emotional, it's not numbers in a bank account. The numbers in the bank account make the transactions happen, but in terms of how we utilize, how we use our money, it's all emotional. Because after we pay our bills, right, that money that's left over, we can do whatever we want with it. Now, usually, especially in today's day and age, it's all about convenience. So it might be that we're a two-car household because that's just easier. It might be that the fact that we have a car rather than just getting the bus. Maybe you live in the center of town and you have a car. These little things are just convenience. If you don't drive or you don't resonate with those examples, maybe you can resonate with the fact of Apple Pay. The contactless cards. The fact that you can just tap, tap, tap away. Okay? the fact that I live in the center of town, right? And sometimes I will open Uber Eats on my phone. Now, there is no reason why I should have Uber Eats on my phone. I live in the center of town. The nearest, like, McDonald's is a 2-minute walk away, which is dangerous for the bank balance, may I say. But there's little things of convenience that we have been taught are kind of almost necessary to survive in this day and age, are really just ways of, well, companies to take our money. And it's all marketing. I don't want you to feel bad about the way you spend your money because of convenience. It's all marketing and how you've been marketed towards. But it is worth, when you have a second, to think about the financial decisions you're making, even the really teeny tiny ones, and how they relate to your childhood, what things might have been said. So some examples, obviously I've used my own example of growing up in a poorer household. If you're someone that grew up in a poorer household as well, it can usually manifest in two ways going into adulthood. Number one is you do what I did, which is because you never want to feel poor again, you never want to feel lacking, you buy whatever you want when you want. You're like, great, I've got this money, I can just buy myself some new shoes. I can just go for a meal out rather than cook at home. And there's nothing wrong with doing that. It's all about the habit, whether it's a nice thing that you do for yourself or whether you created a habit in order to mask something else, and whether it's meaning that you can't reach financial goals. But the other way it can manifest is also the other way. So it can manifest in the way of kind of money slips through our fingers, but it can also manifest in the way of like, we hold on to money. We get super scared. It either way is scarcity, because if we keep buying stuff, it's this feeling of there's never enough. But also if we're holding on to money and we're super scared, that's because we also believe that there's never enough. So we need to hold on to it just in case. So it might be that you've managed to save some money. Maybe you've even saved an emergency fund, and something has happened where maybe you've needed to use the emergency fund, and that has been crippling. Or you've saved loads of money, but it has no purpose, and it's just sat in your current account. And girl, I tell you now, if it's sat in a current account, please go and open a savings account. Like, please get some interest earned on your savings. Just on this topic of having savings, and actually being in a scarcity mindset around that, I think when people think about the different mindsets around money, you often hear scarcity and abundance. People think of scarcity as almost not having any money and abundance as having lots of money. But that's not how it works at all. And it was really interesting. One time I worked with a client and her form of scarcity was all around having an emergency fund. So she had built up an emergency fund, felt really comfortable with it, and was actually kind of doing okay financially. And then COVID hit. And because of redundancies, because of the situation that COVID put her in, she then had to use that savings. And that feeling, having to use the savings and then not having that financial security, actually was crippling. And all of a sudden, she found it really hard to manage her money, found it really hard to almost make any progress with money, because there was this fear, such fear around money and there not being enough. So scarcity can come out in lots of different ways, and it is usually directly tied to how we grew up. On the flip side, you may have grown up with no money struggles. You may have done absolutely fine growing up. And this can manifest in some other ways as well. So a different client of mine came to me with a very different upbringing. Her upbringing had been quite well off, you know, lived in London, which we all know you've got to be rich to live in London, especially as a family, has got an inheritance and all of these sorts of things. So naturally, I think it's very easy as someone that came from a poor background to be like, wow, like you're doing okay. When realistically, she has come to me for help. And she came to me for help because even though her parents had money growing up and so she never went without, she was never taught how to manage her finances, and she was never taught about money. So what happens is she went into her adult life, started earning money. You know, you do all the things that you're supposed to do, the things that are meant, you know, part of the process. You know, you go to college, you go to university, you get the degree, you go find a job, you work your way up that job. Or you stop and have a family and do all that. And then, but in none of that are we taught how to actually manage our finances. So this person, even though that they had grown up with money, they now were starting to feel that fear, that nervousness, that anxiety around money, because, well, they grew up with money, but now they're actually struggling to hold on to it themselves because they've never been taught how to effectively manage it, how to prioritize, and those sorts of things. There are people that do very well financially without support, and mostly those people are just lucky, because what it means is that they grew up with that financial education, with the kind of financial stability there. But a lot of us weren't, and a lot of us weren't taught it in school either. So even though we know we learn money from our childhood, it wasn't from school, which is why none of us has this practical education of what to actually do with our money. And that's why, thankfully, people like me exist to be able to help you to learn to manage your money. Okay. So one thing you're going to learn in this podcast is that I bloody love telling my clients to financial journal. I said that all wrong. It's to have a financial journal. And what this is it's all about understanding our emotions around financial decisions. But alongside it, I like to give out prompts to help people maybe uncover certain limiting beliefs or negative money beliefs they have in order to rewrite them. So I'm going to leave you with a prompt today. And this is something, again, for you maybe to sit on, to come back to another time when you can. Or if you're listening to this on the bus to work and you've got the notes app open, let's do it. I want you to think about your earliest money memory. It doesn't have to be numbers. I want you to think about whether that was a positive or a negative experience, and how that experience is potentially affecting your ability to manage money today. So that's your action for this week. I want you to think on your earliest money memory, and also just think in general about how your caregivers were around money, and whether there's any other societal, religious, cultural, what's the word? Triggers. I guess. Well, I really struggle with that word. That might be influencing or have influenced your ability to manage money and how you behave with money. Now, I don't want this to be like, oh, okay, that's how I am with money, so that's it. No, no, no. We can very easily rewrite your money story. But in order to do that, we do have to uncover the things that happened and the things that are building your money story, the things that are making up your money mindset. But once we are aware of them, and that's how I work with my clients, is we build awareness of our limiting beliefs, of our money beliefs, our money habits, our experiences growing up, and just becoming aware of them when we do go out and about and are making financial decisions. So whether when we're building our budget, when we're out in the shops, when we're making big financial decisions, how are those experiences affecting our decisions? And also, what can we say about them? A lot of the time, especially the limiting beliefs, and especially being a woman, there are so many that are just not true. There's such a big thing around women having to justify expenses and any time that they spend money, that now a lot of us hold that in our lives, which is if we buy anything, we feel the need immediately to justify it, whereas we wouldn't expect that of our male partners, of our male friends or colleagues. So little things around childhood influences, societal influences, becoming aware of them and acknowledging that those are the things that are affecting you, but it doesn't have to be that way. And that through awareness of those influences, we can start to change the narrative and start to build a more positive mindset, being aware of the truth, which is that you don't need to just every spend. You don't need to feel bad if you make a mistake financially. You were never taught about money. It's all about, and I'm going to say this in every single episode because this is just like the crux of it all. It's all about our values, being clear on what is important to us and spending in alignment with that. Spending in alignment with what we want our life to look like. And if something is not serving us, to drop it. Just drop it. Thank you for listening to this episode. I'm sorry it's a bit higgledy-piggledy. First time doing a podcast. If you listened, if you liked, if you resonated with any of it, please do let me know. It means so much. If there's anything in particular that you want me to cover, also just let me know, because why not? And yeah, I will see you soon. Thanks.